Blog Talk Radio.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your old stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said, everybody, get on up and do your old stuff. You better get up. Don't be so rough, but you got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. My name is Elizabeth Chris. I hope you had a wonderful week, and you're looking forward to hearing all what's going on in Congress, but also what's going on in the House of Representatives with the Speaker's resignation. Is it about the fiscal cliff? Was it about the Pope? Is he tired? Well, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about what else is going on in Congress, but let me do a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, let me say hi to John and in that room. Hey, guys. And let me tell you a little bit about Congress College. Congress College airs twice weekly on the Monday show, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is when we recap the week, outline the week, in Congress, and what that means is we are going to talk about literally the Senate of the United States and in the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, which of course is the show you're listening to right now, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is when we recap the week in Congress and we talk about literally what actually got done. What did the Senate of the United States actually do? What did the House of Representatives actually do? Did they do what they said they were going to do? And more importantly, were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? That's the reason I do Congress College. That's the reason I do Congress College twice weekly, so folks can have of what their member of Congress is up to, because we have the greatest representative government in the world, bar none. Yes, we got warts. We got lots of problems. But you tell me, you name me a better representative government. Is it Germany? Is it China? Is it Russia? I'd love to have that debate. Time, we've got a great representative government. We've just got to put good representatives in it to use it so they don't break it, they don't twist it into a pretzel, they don't actually abuse it. So I do Congress College so you can at least know what your member of Congress is up to. Let me just say this real quick. Congress College is brought to you by GradeGov.com, and of course GradeGov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? You want to give them an A? Maybe you want to give them a C or an F. GradeGov.com is free. I pledge that it always will be free. You pick your grade. You pick who you want to grade, and then you pick whether you want to give them an A, B, C, D, or F. The site will prompt you to write a letter explaining why you gave the grade. Check your spelling, because I'm a horrible speller. And then once you click send, you've just graded a member of Congress. And you've written a letter to a member of Congress. And they see them, folks. They really do. Don't use the House or the Senate email system. It's nothing but a software reporting system. No eyeballs see your letter. No eyeballs see your grade. But with GradeGov, they do. So tell your friends, tell your family about GradeGov.com. I really appreciate it. In the meantime, also tell folks to tune in to Congress College. Again, my name is Elizabeth Crist. I'm going to thank you in advance for spending a little bit of your Friday with me. Let's get started. What's going on in Congress? Well, we're going to start out with the Senate of the United States. They have teed up a vote at 5:30, and this vote will be whether or not they can pass a continuing resolution, a funding mechanism for the federal government, and it would fund the federal government through December 11th. How did we get here, folks? How did we get here again? You've got Republicans leading the House. You've got Republicans leading the Senate. They promised to happen. The Speaker, Speaker Boehner, started passing the appropriations bills. I know John knows this. I know Bob knows this. There's 12 of them. There's 12 appropriations bills. that when passed individually and signed into law, they fund the federal government. There's a Department of Defense appropriations bill. I know you don't know what department that funds. It funds the Department of Defense. Well, Speaker Boehner started calling them up in the summer one by one, debating them, offering amendments to them. Your congressman, my congressman, maybe, or congresswoman, maybe got an opportunity to offer an amendment on your behalf, maybe an industry that you work for. Again, representative government. They went through six of those bills, and they started going to the Senate of the United States, and Harry Reid said, nope, not taking any of them up. Why? You're not spending enough money. Back in the summer, Harry Reid was blocking all of the appropriations bills that Senate tried to have the Senate bring up by saying the figures aren't high enough, the numbers aren't high enough, the money to run the organizations, the agencies, is not enough. And I know that most people that listen to Congress College know the ideal situation or the actual situation in the Senate is, unless you have 60 votes, a supermajority that says we want to proceed, we want to do the business, we want to offer amendments. If you don't have 60, a simple majority doesn't do it anymore for bills. So Senator McConnell could not get 60 senators to say they wanted to take up the appropriations bills. So none of them have gone to the White House. None of them have been funded. No agency has been funded. And at the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th, every agency, every department is going to run out of money. They can't open the doors October 1. They can't turn on the lights. They can't fire up their computers. They are out of money. So the Senate Majority Leader has teed up a couple of times votes that have a continuing resolution setting up money to for the government to continue to operate, at the same time stripping out all the money for Planned Parenthood. And he can't get 60 votes for those. The one he did was the other day, on Thursday. He can't get 60 votes. There aren't 60 senators that say we want to defund Planned Parenthood. He can't get the Democrats on board. They've tried taking that $500 million and sprinkling it through health care centers throughout the country where women can get health care issues resolved, not using Planned Parenthood. That doesn't get 60 votes. They've tried just stripping it out altogether. Doesn't get 60 votes. So the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, has teed up a vote on Monday, 5:30, and it is a straight continuing resolution on the federal government and, yes, funding Planned Parenthood, that agency that gives out that money, that $500 million, funding it through December 11th. He's tried three times. He's had three separate roll call votes, one as early as August 3rd. And then, of course, throughout August, and so we've seen more videos. We've seen six or seven videos, horrific videos, of what Planned Parenthood is doing when they're selling baby parts. But the Democrats, they're stuck. The Democrats are saying, we are not going to change our mind. And here's the deal, folks. The more votes you have on an issue, the more they are, the more unlikely they will be to change their mind. So Monday at 5:30, you're going to have a vote. It'll likely get 60 votes. And the Senate Democrats will help Senate Republicans, and they'll end up passing a continuing resolution to keep the government open until December 11th. That bill will go to the House of Representatives and likely it will get passed. So that problem will be averted. Let's flip over to the House of Representatives. Everybody knows this. Everybody heard Speaker Boehner stepping down. He's not only resigning as the Speaker of the House, he's also resigning as the Congressman from Ohio. Let's recap for a second how sort of this all played out. Remember back in 2009, the president started passing initiatives. The stimulus was the first thing, then the health care bill. These initiatives in 2009 made the Tea Party movement grow. It sprung out of those into other from other issues to the point by the time the elections came in 2010, the House of Representatives had been changed to Republicans. They got, going to 2014, a bigger majority, bigger majorities in governorships. But here's what's happened. Between 2010 and now, the frustration of why can't you stop him? Why can't you stop the president? Why can't you end the madness? It's unattainable expectations right now. That's all I'm going to say. It's unattainable expectations. Asking Washington to do it right now. I would maintain the best place to ask for some of these changes are with 31 Republican governors. 31 Republican governors are now, that's how many there are across the nation. Let's talk about one Republican governor right now. His name is John Kasich. He's the Republican from Ohio, and he's going to have something to say about what happens to Speaker Boehner's seat. John Kasich term limited himself. He'd been in Congress for 18 years. He said, I'm done, served enough. I'm term limiting myself. I'm not running again. By the way, the last time the budget was balanced in the federal government was under John Kasich's watch. He was chairman of the budget committee. So after he did that, shortly after he did that, he term limited himself, said, I am going home. Home was Ohio. He ran for governor in 2010 and then in 2014. He balanced Ohio's budget. But listen to what John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, did in June of 2013. He signed into a state law to defeat anti-abortion measures that mandated any woman seeking an abortion has to have an ultrasound. The bill stripped $1.4 million from Planned Parenthood. And same thing, he sprinkled it in other family planning funds. He provided some of those funds to go to crisis pregnancy centers, just as long as they don't provide abortion referrals. Also, rape crisis centers, if they got abortion. This was done by a Republican governor. His name is John Kasich of Ohio in June of 2013. Folks, that's where we need to be looking right now. That's where we need to be looking. I've talked about this on Andrea Shea King's show. The Senate does not have the required votes to stop president. They just don't. All right, so we've sort of talked about how Speaker Boehner got so hated. Boy, he got so hated. The frustration level has exceeded anything I have ever seen. He is the symbol. John Boehner is the symbol of all that is wrong in Washington, D.C. But here's the deal, folks. A new speaker, whoever it is, Kevin McCarthy, the Republican majority leader, likely will be the new speaker when they have the leadership elections in October. Kevin McCarthy's from Ohio. The same issues are going to be around. It's going to lead to the same chaos because you still have the budget problem. Remember, we just talked about the Senate of the United States is going to pass a continuing resolution till December 11th. But then what happens after December 11th? They got to do it all over again. And you're still going to have the issue with Planned Parenthood. For all we know, there'll be another horrible video that'll come out. You're still going to have the fight between the House, the Senate, and the White House. The chaos is still going to be there. It also, Speaker Boehner leaving might also help, I don't know, do you think it will help the Democrats running for president? Let me first talk about what some of the Republicans running for president said afterwards. This is Bobby Jindal, the Republican governor from Louisiana. Quote, it's time for a new generation of Republican leaders. He tweeted that. Marco Rubio was at a values voter summit in Washington. And he said almost the same thing. Ted Cruz was almost gleeful when he talked about it. It might be Hillary that bump out of this, though. Because, you see, she has always run against the crazy Republican extreme party. They don't know what they're doing. They're chaotic. Boy, does this kind of show that right now, that they're kind of chaotic. So the new leadership in the House, how are they going to solve the problems? These problems are going to crash into each other. Here's what will actually crash into December 11th, likely will be the debt limit. So in other words, the federal government after December 11th won't have the funds to open up all the agents' doors. Department of Defense, Department of Interior, Department of, just keep going, you know what I'm talking about. But also, they will have no money in the checkbook to write our debtors the money we owe them. The debt limit will expire potentially right around the same time. And then on top of that, you're going to have some tax incentives around for a long, long time. Actually, most of them were passed under George W. Bush. A lot of them are going to be needed to be reinstated. Here's one. They're called tax extenders. Here's one that I talk about often. Are you a teacher? Do you have a family member that is a teacher? I have several family members that are teachers. I love them. My daughter-in-law is a teacher. My sister-in-law is a teacher. My cousin is a teacher. I love teachers. I love, love, love teachers. If they spend part of their own money for classroom supplies, tax incentives is they can file on their tax returns and get some of that back, some of that money, their personal money that they spent, they can get it back. Well, one of those is expiring. That's one of the, I think there are almost 50 tax extenders. That's all going to crash together, folks, in the middle of December, and the new speaker is going to have more members of the House. The new speaker is not going to have any more members of the Senate, and the same president's going to be there. Gridlock inside the Beltway. So we need to look at our governors. Look at good governors like John Kasich. Ask your governor to be doing some of this. Well, speaking of John Kasich, he's going to be the one that will set the election to fill the vacancy for Speaker Boehner. Remember, he's a congressman too. He's the speaker, but he's also a congressman. So the 8th District of Ohio is going to need another congressman or woman, going to need another representative. This is a very conservative seat. Mitt Romney carried the District of Ohio by 26 points in 2012. So what happened? Speaker Boehner came in the office today at 8 o'clock. Apparently, he told his senior staff. And then at 9 o'clock, he walked into the routine Republican leadership meeting and said, I am done. Here's Congressman Bratt, the Republican from Virginia, who beat Eric Cantor, who was the majority leader from Virginia, beat him in a primary. Remember, came out of nowhere? Here's what Dave Bratt said. This is before Speaker Boehner stepped down. Quote, we are likely heading for chaos, probably to be aimed at the end of December when everybody wants to go home for Christmas. He's right. And changing speakerships, I don't see how that changes it. Let's take a listen here for 1 minute. This is President Obama talking about how horrible our debt is. This is less than a minute, 2008. Take a listen.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion for the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome, so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
Wow, it's unpatriotic. I don't even know what you would want to call what President Obama has done, if that's unpatriotic. Wow. Hey, listen to something else President Obama did. You want to start a franchise? You want to expand your business, a second location or a third location? You're probably going to have to think again. The National Labor Relations Board, folks, that's five people. Five people on this board ruled Thursday that companies using workers hired by another business, like a staffing agency, a contractor, fast food franchises, be on the hook for labor violations and any other liabilities caused at the other location. The other location could be the other side of the country. It could be one of your franchises. They're defining what's called a joint employer. Now, think about it. How many companies do you know that outsource labor for their needs? That may not be an option anymore. That may not be an option. So, does the grassroots start screaming and hollering, hey, Speaker Boehner, new speaker, get rid of the labor ruling. Five people said this. We got 435 of you in the House. We got 100 of you in the Senate. That's our representative government. Stop it, stop it, stop it. They can't, folks. That's the reality. They can't. They don't have the votes. Remember what you can do when you have votes? Remember back in 29? How many senators were there? 60 Democratic senators. We got a stimulus bill passed that cost us about $1 trillion, 980 some billion. How many senators were there in the House of Representatives? A majority. Who was president at the time? President Obama. 60 senators, a majority in the House, a Democratic president, bam. You got a stimulus bill, bam. You got Obamacare, bam. You got Dodd-Frank, the biggest banking sweeping regulation, too big to fail bill ever. That's what you need in this case. Or, folks, we can talk about unattainable expectations till we are blue in the face. There aren't 60 senators. There isn't a Republican sitting in the White House. So good luck to the new speaker. No, we'll be talking about it. Speaking of talking, you want to hear some Trumpisms? These were just yesterday's Trumpisms. In other words, he made the following comments. In a phone call to CNN, he attacked CNN, absolute terrible liar, terrible liar. Instagram, he called New York Times' Jonathan Martin dishonest, a liar, because he said there were seats unfilled in his South Carolina event. Trump went on Twitter and slammed Politico piece that he said he's stalling in the polls. He said that it's not read, it's not respected by very many, and most dishonest of the media outlets, and that's saying something, quote unquote. And then in the Daily Mail, Trump called AP photographer who shot pictures of the South Carolina event with empty seats a effing thief. Tell them they're a fraud, whoever took it. I just got killed on that thing, and it was just really unfair. It's a GD unfair. I'm not going to say, folks. That's just Thursday from Donald Trump, Trumpisms. All right, let's talk for a minute about Biden and Hillary. In the Biden watch, Vice President Biden will be the keynote speaker next week, October 3rd, at the Human Rights Campaign event, their national dinner. Guess what? Hillary was supposed to be the keynote speaker. They moved her to middle of the day. She's going to speak to about 800 people. And Vice President Joe, he's going to speak in prime time to about 3,000 guests. What do you think of that? A little curious, bumped Hillary for Biden. And what about the FBI and Hillary's emails? They have figured out, the FBI has figured out that they can salvage her emails, the ones that she said were deleted. They've recovered her work-related emails and her personal emails. That's a game changer, folks. That is a game changer. Remember, Clinton claimed that she had deleted 30,000 of her personal emails? Well, guess what? The FBI says we can get a lot of those. Here's another thing. Well, this whole thing, Hillary has said that she used her private email while she was Secretary of State, and that when she decided to turn over thousands of work-related emails, it was a routine request that she was doing. Well, the State Department is saying that case. The State Department says the request was not simply about a general record keeping, but that they have found out that she used her private email almost extensively. The process I'm quoting, the responding to congressional document requests pertaining to Benghazi, State Department officials recognized that it had access to relatively few emails. And they've learned about this other account since then. So let's recap here for 1 minute. Here's the deal. The State Department now has on the record disputed Clinton claims that her handing over the emails was standard operating procedure. State contacted Clinton, contacted her in 2014 and said that they had to turn in her emails. Now, the FBI has now recovered her work and her personal emails. Those could be serious. And the Benghazi Select Committee has gotten a bunch of those emails. The State Department has turned over a bunch of emails relating to the September 2012 attack that we assumed were gone, or she probably assumed were gone. So the FBI has succeeded in recovering her work and her personal emails, and the State Department has figured out she used her personal emails almost exclusively. Wow, folks, this could be a real game changer. Meanwhile, in the polls for the Democrats, Sanders has a 16-point lead over Hillary. Biden has a 14-point lead over Hillary, and he's not even in the race yet. Amazing. So you've got Speaker Boehner resigning. You've got a fiscal cliff that's going to occur on or around the first or December 10th, 11th, 12th, all middle of December. You're going to have a new speaker by then. You're not going to have 60 United States Republican senators. You're not going to have a super majority in the House. And you're not going to have a new president. So the fiscal cliff likely will happen unless this new speaker knows how to really cut a deal. Why would the president sign a deal that was good for the grassroots? Why would the Senate Democrats vote for a deal that was good, the grassroots? They haven't up to this point. Why would they? I guess we're going to have to wait and see. All right, I do this at every hearing of Congress College. Get your paper, get your pencil out. We're going to do the president's daily schedule for today at 9 o'clock. The president and the first lady met with his wife. Oh, the Bidens were there. At 11 o'clock, they had a bilateral meeting where the vice president attended. It was in the Oval Office. At 11:05, they were in the Rose Garden doing the same kind of thing. They went out to Fort Myers. And then at 11:30, there is a state dinner for the president of China. He's a busy man today. And I tell you what, it was phenomenally busy on Capitol Hill, especially on the House side. So Monday we'll see. We'll talk about that vote and whether the continuing resolution will continue. Will the government keep it open through December 11th? And then we're just going to all have to sort of kick the can down the road with our eyes all the way to December and see what will happen. In the meantime, let me thank you very much for listening to Congress College. I found this one. I love it. It's Bob Seger's Turn Page, because I guess Speaker Turning the Page. Enjoy it. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed week.
Brand new one now featuring Alper on the saxophone.
I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Thanks, John.
An old one. It's called Turn the Page.
Bye-bye.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. See, here I am, on the road again. There I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go.